morning. It's a long drive. Okay, we're starting a new Mishnah. From Mishnah to Mishnah, it's very short, this next piece. We're going to talk about the idea of the prohibition of tattooing your body.
Okay.
And you can get lashed for that as well. Yeah, you should be. Okay. Hakosev ksoves ka'aka. Okay, we're going to have to translate those words. But one who's kosev, one who writes, ksoves ka'aka, the two words together, is a tattoo. And you're going to get lashed for that. Now, what does that mean, ksoves ka'aka? So we're going to see over here, there's a two-step process. Now you're going to learn all about how to make tattoos, guys, in case you need a side job.
So that time also people used to make tattoos?
Yes. Okay. So I have no idea how they do it nowadays. I have no idea, but I can just tell you what the Talmud has to say about it.
How is the same?
Start, process one is you cut, prick, or puncture the skin.
Right.
Got to make a cut into the skin. Then the holes you have to fill with some kind of a dye or an ink. Okay, now that's clear what the prohibition is. The only machlok is what do the words in the Torah mean when they describe it. Okay, there's two words, kisoves and ka'aka. So most is showing like kisoves, like we're writing, that's the filling in of the dye. And ka'aka is the pricking of the skin. Some say it's the reverse, the translation of the words. There's a machlokas, what's the translation of the words, but there's no machlokas what the prohibition is. There's also machlokas in the order of the two procedures. According to the Rivan, one first applies the dye to the skin, and then with a needle or skin punctures the skin to allow the dye to enter between the skin and the flesh. Most other Rishon hold that first the skin is pricked, and then the openings are filled with dye. The Achronim debate whether one incurs malchus if he reverses the prescribed order, if you hold it to a certain order. Okay. Okay, we got the Milchus Chinuch holds like the Rambam. Okay, fine. Rivan appears to state that malchus is given only when the tattoo is permanent. Others imply that the tattoo need only be long-lasting. The authorities also debate whether, in the Tanakhama's opinion, which we'll see, the Torah forbids the tattooing of letters only or other markings as well, like a snake or whatever. Those who say that the prohibition applies only to letters include the different rabbis over there. Others say no, other markings are also biblically prohibited. A lot of rabbis on that discussion. So it's a big machlokas, lemaisa. Some also say whether, according to the stringent opinion, does it have to have some pictures or convey a message, whatever. So there's a debate exactly, you know, what you're going to get lashed for. But clearly the Torah looks down on tattooing. God gave you a body in the image of God, and you shouldn't disfigure that image.
It's close to the Bani Matem, right? In the Torah?
No, that's pulling your hair out over a death or things like that. Okay, so that is gets lashed. Kosev ksovas ka'aka. Now, what if kosav velo ka'aka? What if he wrote, he used the coloring agent but didn't prick the skin? Mm-hmm. So the little kid tattoos, where they put the little thing on, it just makes a little ink, and that's it. Or ka'aka velo kasav. What if he pricked the skin but didn't write a coloring agent on the skin beforehand? Eino chayiv. You're not chayiv lashes. Ad sheyichtov veyika'aka. Unless he does both, he writes and he pricks. Okay. Now, also, he has to do it Bijo with either black ink, like that's the kind you use for this for parchment to write sefer Torah, black ink, or ubechachol with blue dye, or ubechol davar shirosh, anything that makes a mark. Okay, so that's opinion number one. So you have to write and make some kind of an ink, some kind of a mark. Rab Shimon ben Rab Yehuda ben Mishum Rab Shimon Omer Ein Achayev Ad Sheyichtov Shom Es Hashem. You're not liable until you write the name there. Gemara's going to explain what name are we talking about. Gemara's going to say he's referring to the name of an idol. So you have to write. So the first opinion says anything. Reb Yehuda, the name of Reb Shimon, you have to write like a name. How do you know that? Because look what the pasuk says. Shenemar, the whole pasuk says, Uksovas ka'aka lo sitno bochem ani Hashem. A tattoo you shall not place upon yourselves. I am the Lord. Now, what's the proof? Doesn't seem to be such a clear proof. Gemara is going to discuss that shortly. So now we've got the machlokes. What do you have to do to get punished? Is it just the tattooing process and you've tattooed anything? According to Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Reb Yehuda ben Shimon, he's saying, no, you've got to write a certain particular name, which Gemara will discuss. So that is the Mishnah. Okay, now, Amar le Rav Acha brei de Rav le Rav Ashi. Now we're getting into Rav Shimon ben Yehuda's ruling over here. So Rav Acha, the son of Rava, says to Rav Ashi, what does it mean until you write there the shame, the name? So he learns the pasuk straight out. Ad the yichtav, until you write the words, Ani Hashem. I am Hashem. That's exactly how the pasuk goes. Don't write that thing. Ani Hashem.
Why would a sinner do that?
So now, okay, so he understood, he's expressing his, Luka Yosef thinks Rav Acha is expressing his own opinion in the matter. Siritva for other additions, okay. And Amar Lei, and Rav Ashi replied to him and said, lo, no, this is not Rav Shimon's intent. But rather, it's Kedektoni Bar Kafra. Rather, as Bar Kafra taught in the Braisa, Ein Achayv in Achayv at Sheichtov Shem Avodas Kochavim, until you write the name of a pagan deity. As you see, it was the custom of the pagans to mark themselves for idolatry. You know, I'm with Zeus. I'm a Zeuser. You know, you had Zeus. You have a picture of a, you know, godly figure and Zeus. All right? So it's got to be Avodah Zarah. Why? What's his source? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Uksovas kakalo sitno bochem ani Hashem." What does it mean, ani Hashem? Doesn't mean to say don't write ani Hashem, but rather don't write idols, because ani Hashem, because I am the only God, v'lo acher, and there are no other gods. So therefore, what's the problem? If you write Hashem's name, that ain't so bad, because you're at least believing in Hashem. But if you're writing an idol, that is going to get lashed for that. However, everybody agrees that rabbinically, even if you don't write Hashem's name, you can't tattoo anything. So clearly, it's forbidden to tattoo anything. If you want to get lashed also on top of that, then you've got to write an idol's name. So if you're just going to say, you know, Leafs rock, you know, with a big maple leaf, you would not get lashed. It would be prohibited, but you would not get lashed. Okie dokie. Now, so that is the classic prohibition of tattooing. Now we're going to get to derivatives of this, and do they apply in these situations. And then the Gemara gets into a very off-topic, very brief technical issue to help you memorize certain opinions. I'm not going to, there's tons and tons of commentary on this, and I'm going to skip it all, because you're going to see why in a minute. It's not as germane to the topic. Anyway, got to remember the next names carefully. Amar Rav Malkiyoh. Now, why am I being so specific about this? Because it's going to be another name very similar to it, and the Gemara feels people are going to confuse the names. So Rav Malkiyoh, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ahava, said in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ahava the following halach. Asur lo la'adam sheyitein efer mikla al gabe makosel. A person should not put mikla ashes on his wound to heal it. I guess for some type of healing, you know, if you have a cut or something, you want it to heal, you put this mikla ashes. So mikla ashes are the burnt, blackened ashes from wood used as fuel in a stove. All right? So whatever that, what they're going to call, there must be a fancier word than that, but the charred ashes. So I guess it was a medicinal thing. So we're not allowed to do that, even though your intention is for medicinal purposes. But why can't you do it? It appears like tattooing because the ashes are going to leave a mark in the skin after the wound is healed. So at the end of the day, you get a little black mark, permanent. So it looks like that you have tattooed yourself. Okay, so Rav Malkia prohibits the use of this specific type of ash, despite its medicinal efficacy, because it's hard and therefore pricks the area of the wound and eventually leaves a mark. Any other type of ash or dust is permitted. Okay, others say that he specifically said mikla ash because they were the most commonly used. However, he indeed prohibits all types. This is only rabbinic in nature, designed to prevent the appearance of wrongdoing. You would not get lashed for this. Just be rabbinically, because it looks like tattooing. You can imagine if a big rabbi would want to heal something and say, oh, Rabbi so-and-so tattoos himself, so we can tattoo ourselves as well. So therefore, it's rabbinic in nature. Please remember, the name of this rabbi is Rav Malkiyah, said in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ava. Okay, now, Amar Rav Nachman Brei Deravav Ika, Rav Nachman said the name of Rav Ika. Now, we're going to look at this introduction here. The preceding ruling was stated by Rav Malkiyah, as were several other statements during the Talmud. There was, however, another Amora with a similar name, Rav Malkiyah, who also issued several rulings. Because the two sages were sometimes confused with each other, the Gemara digresses here to clarify which dicta were authored by Rav Malkiyah and which were authored by Rav Malkiyah. Okay, so we got Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Ika, said the following. Remember, we had Malkiyah. So he says the following. Now, these are one word, a number of one word clauses that represent huge and complicated halachas, okay, that I don't want to go into, unless you want to spend like 5 minutes on each one. Okay, so he says, a halacha regarding shipud, a spit as a utensil, shvachos, maidservants, gumos, pores, regarding saras. So there was halachas said regarding to them. Rav Malkiyah was the one who recorded a statement regarding these halachas. Okay, so again, just really quickly. So he said, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that a spit on which meat was roasted on Yontif may not be moved after the roasting, since it become repulsive and is therefore muktzah. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says a spit on Yontif is muktzah. After you use it, it looks disgusting, it's got all soot. Rav Malkiyah rules that the spit may nonetheless be removed to a corner in an unusual manner. So therefore, Rav Malkiyah modified an Amora's ruling. Remember, Rav Malkiyah is an Amora, and he was discussing an Amora's ruling, and he modified it. So that's a spit. Okay? Maidservants, the Mishkzut details the household tasks that are incumbent upon a Jewish wife. The Tanakhama there holds that a wife is exempt from these tasks if she brings into the marriage enough maidservants to do the work for her. I say a woman has to cook, she has to clean. So he says, Tanakhama says, listen, if a woman brings in some maidservants, she has nannies already. Why do you got to make her do this? Lezer maintains that even if she brings 100 maidservants, she must occupy herself with some of these tasks because idleness leads to sin. Rav Malkiyah rules in accordance with Eliezer's view. It's Malkiyah number 2. Okay? The third one, so you've got spit, maize, and gumos, and pores. Rav Chelbo said the name of Amor Rav Huna, that the two pubic hairs that are a sign of legal adulthood must grow from well-defined pores. Rav Malkiel rules the presence of two such pores is itself a sign of adulthood, even if no hairs are grown. So you see, Rav Malkiel has amended three statements of Amorim, modified these statements, okay, regarding the spit, maidservants, and pores. So who said all this? So careful, Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Ika, say that these three modifications were stated by Rav Malkiel. Now, our statement was Rav Malkiel, who modified the statement about the ash tattoo. Okay, that was his statement. On the other, no, he's still talking. On the other hand, the next number laws are Rav Malkiel. So let's not get confused. Who is saying amended halachas? And those are bloris, locks of hair, afer mikla, the ashes that we just talked about, and ugvina and cheese were Rav Malkiel, like Rav Malkiel. Now we're saying this because we just said a statement of Rav Malkiel, right? We just had earlier, Rav Malkiel said, in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ava, that you can't even take this ash and put it in. So now Rav Nachman, Brady Rav Ika said, let's not get confused with Malkiel and Malkiel. Rav Malkiel said three amended versions regarding the spit, maidservants, and pores. While Rav Malkiel, he discussed the hair, locks of hair, ashes, and cheese. Okay, well, the ashes, we know exactly. That's the topic. What's the other two things? It was the practice of idols to leave over a lock of hair in service of their idols. Huh? A Bryce stated of Avodah Zarah teaches that a Jewish barber must cease cutting the hair of his idol worshiper customer before reaching this lock of hair, so he does not contribute to the making of the lock. Okay, Rav Malkiel explains what it means that the barber must cease cutting three finger breadths in each direction around the lock of hair. So that's the modification where you stop cutting. That's Rav Malkiel. The second thing regarding the ash, that's one we discussed. And the third one, a Jew may not eat cheese made by idolaters. Oh. Can't eat non-Chol Yisrael. That's all different reasons why, etc., etc. They would coat their cheese with treif things, whatever. You can't eat. Okay, so there, this is Rav Nachman Rav Ika. He says, Rav Malkiel discussed issues that Amoraim discussed, and he amended those three of the spit, the maidservants, and the pores. While Rav Malkiel, that was Rav Malkiel. Rav Malkiel discussed the hair to not leave too much space, to leave space before the locks, the ashes, and the cheese. That's Rav Malkiel. That's his opinion as to how to attribute these six statements. These particular three are Rav Malkiel. These three particular are Rav Malkiel. Now, guess what? Rav Papa seems to disagree with that. This is getting a little bit technical here. Another Amora attributes these rulings a little differently. So we've got Rav Malkiel are Amoroim. You got later Amoraim, Rav Nachman, Breda Rika says, well, this is how I see. One rabbi said three, one said three. Rav Papa Amar, no. He says, this is the way we do it. Masnisin umasnisa, any rulings to amend a Mishnah or a Brisa statement, that's from a Tana, that's from a higher level, that was all Rav Malkiel. So which ones are Mishnahs and Brisas? So this is maidservants, locks of hair, and cheese. Not the same three, right? Because we had maidservants was the first group of three. Locks of hair and cheese was the second group of three. So he's saying anything that's of a Mishnah or Brisa, that's of Malkiel. On the other hand, Shmaitza, things that are from Amoraim, it's Rav Malkiel. So, in other words, in contrast, Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Iku, attributes the dicta concerning the spit, maidservants, and poor servant of Malkio. Rav Papa contends that only the two Amoraic statements regarding the spit and the pores are to be attributed to Malkio. The ruling regarding the maidservants who are mentioned in a Mishnah Ksuva should be attributed to Rav Malkio, for all the dicta pertaining to Tanaic teaching were issued by Rav Malkio. Okay, so that's an interesting way. He's arguing with him exactly which rabbi made those statements. And to make it even more intriguing, and he says, I can give an easy way to remember it. And the sign to remember the way I said is Masnisa Malkasa. A Tanayic statement is a queen, because Malkio is playing a pun on here. You have Malkio, and Malkio. So Mishtanai statement is a Malkio, is a queen. So that's Rav Malkio dealt with statements from a Mishnah. A Tanaic statement is a queen vis-a-vis an Amoraic statement. For an Amoraic statement is refuted when contradicted by a Tanaic statement, because that came earlier. Since the word for Tanaic statement, Masnisa, is feminine, a Tanaic statement is called queen as opposed to king. Since remember, and Rav Malkio, who is a man, it sounds Malkio, a queen. His name suggests queen. The mnemonic thus indicates Rav Malkio, whose name connotes monarch, melech, and ends with a feminine suffix, ah, is the author of those dicta that clarify Mishra Brisa, which are queens. On the other hand, the word name Malkio is masculine, so it doesn't go to the Mishnayos. So now, where is the difference between them? We already showed. My Beinayu, what's going to be the difference? Shvachos, maidservants. That's what we're saying, is one says it's attributed to one rabbi, one says it's attributed to the other one. Fine. So that took care of that complex issue. So it's a debate as to who is the author of those statements.
It's all oral Torah.
What?
It's all oral Torah, so you can easily mistake, right? It's all being memorized.
Of course. Of course. People get a little older, your hearing isn't good on the last syllables. If I tell you Malkio, not very far distance. Okay. Rav Bibi Barabaye copied Afilu Arivda de Kusilaiso. Okay, Rav Bibi Bar Abaye argued with Rav Malkio's ruling above and was insistent that mikla ashes not be placed even on the tiny puncture of a lancet in the skin because it would appear like tattooing. Okay, so he agrees and was even specific about Arivda de Kusilaiso, which he says, commentaries debate the novel point of Rav Bibi's ruling. What's he saying? Currently at Elior, Rav Bibi was teaching that even a tiny mark is permitted as a tattoo. Just like a little lancet, just a little mark. Others reject this revelation, arguing that size is an irrelevant factor in prohibition. They explain that since this type of wound does not at all resemble a letter, one might think that applying mikla ash to it is permitted. That's the Chiddush. Rav Bibi thus comes to teach otherwise, even though it doesn't look like a letter, you can't do it. So he agrees, but extends the prohibition a little further. Rav Ashi says, Kol makom sheyesh shem makom, wherever there's a wound, and we know clearly there's a wound, the rabbis permit the application, and he doesn't say it's usher at all, because makoso mochiach alav, the wound proves he has no intention of a tattoo, and that's how we rule. So although earlier rabbis said you can't do it even though there's a wound, because it looks like it, so he's saying, no, the fact that there's a wound, everyone sees the guy's got a wound. Yeah. So they know he's doing it for medical reasons. For medical reasons, it is permitted. Okay, we went from Mishnah to Mishnah. We still got another 5 minutes. So we're going to push on further to more relevant and more Talmudically inspired discussions. Okay, now the question is going to be an interesting question. How many times can you get lashed for doing the same thing over and over in one day? Mishnah is going to give you three examples of this. Nazir. A Nazir, we know, is prohibited to drink wine. If the Torah says thou shalt, a Nazir shall not drink wine. If a Nazir drinks wine, and before he drinks wine, a Jew warns him and says, you're not allowed to drink the wine. If he drinks the wine, he gets lashed. Now here's the question. Nazir shayya shayse yayin kol hayom. A Nazir is drinking wine all day, but he only got one warning at the start of the day. Okay? He's a Nazir. He takes a five bottles of wine. I'm going to have myself a good time. Hey, you're still a Nazir. You can't do that. I don't care. And he starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he's drinking these five bottles till 8 o'clock at night. Question is, how many lashes do you get? Ein achaya vela achas. He only gets one lash. Why? What's he lashed for? The first drink after the warning. Because the other drinks are not immediately following the warnings. Remember, very important rule is that you get lashed or upon anything. The warning has to be right before you do it. Because once it's a little bit of time has passed, they can say, well, he forgot, he didn't remember the warning. So there, it doesn't matter. So anyway, he only gets one lash for that first drink, maybe the second drink, but after that, it's not that. But what if throughout the day, the guy keeps telling him every 10 minutes after the first glass he drinks, second glass, don't drink the second glass, drinks the second glass.
So all those additional warnings are giving him...
Amar lo, he says, I'll teach that, don't drink. Don't drink. He remorse, warns him before every drink. Who shows and he drinks? Chayav al kol achas v'achas. He gets lashed for each and every drink. Because it's a separate aveira. It's a separate aveira.
He should have given the guy giving the warning to drink.
He's giving a warning every time. L'chaim, don't drink it. He drinks it. That's number one. 10 minutes later, he goes to the neck. Don't drink that one. That's number two. He can end up the day with 30 sets of 49 lashes.
You pick up the lashes at the end of the
right.
day.
Well, then it's going to take a long time to give him all those lashes. It's not one straight. They'll give him 39, then they'll wait a week till he heals, give him another. Not a good idea. Well, let's have another example of this. He's a Kohen who's not allowed to defile himself to the dead. Mm-hmm. What if all day long he is making himself tamei to dead people? He only got one warning at the beginning of the day. Mm-hmm. He only gets lashed once again because of the first time. But if throughout the day, they keep telling him, don't defile, he keeps doing it over and over. And he does keep defiling himself. Chai for each and every one of them. Okay, number three. Back to the Nazir. Oh, really? I didn't have to say the Kohen. This was a Nazir too. I'm sorry. Yeah. A Nazir can't be Tummy either. I don't know why. It could be a Kohen, but it was Nazir. It's all the three of the Nazir. What's the last thing a Nazir can't do? Take a haircut. Now, you don't have to cut your whole hair to transgress. Just a few hairs. Mm-hmm. Just, that's enough. So Hayim Magalcha, what is he spending all day long? Obviously not all day, but shaving his hair. Eina chayv alachas. You only get one time a lash. But Amarlov, they said to him, al tegalach, don't shave, separate warnings for each one. V'umagaleach, and he shaves. Chayav al kol achas v'achas. He's chayv on each and every one of them. Okay. So we'll have to see, why the commentators discuss why you had to give three examples. One would have sufficed. That's for the commentators to discuss. But how is another interesting? So all these three, you actively transgressed them.
Yeah.
You did an action. Now, how about this one here? Hayalavush kilayim kolim. He's wearing kilayim. He's wearing shatnas, which is a forbidden combination of wool and linen. He's wearing it all day, but he's only warned once. Okay? So one warning, take off those clothes. Heaps it on all day. Ain a chayev alachas. He's only chayev once. But what if they keep warning him throughout the day? Amar al-tilbash, al-tilbash. Don't wear and don't wear. No, we have to add over here. V'poshet v'lovesh. And he removes the garment and puts it on. Now, why do you have to do that? According to the Gemara's conclusion below, one need not actually remove and put on the garment to incur multiple liabilities, as long as he has time to do so between each warning. We're going to see, Gemara's going to discuss this one. Doesn't mean he literally takes it off, but if he had the time to take it off and the time to put it on, okay. According to one explanation, read for, Rav Lozer disputes our mission as well and holds that even where this person received many warnings, he incurs only one malchus penalty. Okay, we'll see as the Gemara will discuss. But if he had the time at least, chayev al kol achas v'achas, is chay for each and every one of them. Let's go to the top of the next page. We're covering a lot of ground. Let's see if we can finish this Mishnah today. Oh, now, the Mishnah now is an unusual scenario. What's the most amount of lashes you could do in one activity? Okay, you're doing one action. How many lashes could you get? How many different averos? Let's craft the case. How many different averos could you do in one motion? Well, and you can get the maximum lashes for a number of different averos. Obviously, it's an unusual case. He says, Yesh Choresh Telemechad, a case where a person plows a single furrow in a field. You could have such a case. V'chayev Olav Mishum Shmoin Olavim. And you can get 8 lashes. Okay? 8 lashes. Even though it's one action, because you're going to do 8 different Averos at the same time. And the Gemara's going to have a healthy discussion about this. So let's see what's going on. Hachoyresh, you are plowing Bishor v'chamor with an ox and a donkey. That's number one. You're not allowed to combine two different animals to do that. But that's number one. Okay, any kind of work you do. So plowing with them, that would be considered one of those works. Okay, and also, v'hei muktashim, they happen to have been consecrated to the temple. And you're not allowed to use things that are consecrated to the temple. He consecrated them first. Yes. Now he hitches them up together. So that's going to be number two. V'kilayim v'kerem. And what are they plowing? Forbidden plants. Yeah. You now have for two different mixed plants. So they're dealing with the plants. They're doing the furrow to continue the growth process over there. That's three. And when are you doing this? Ubashvis, in a Shemitah year when you're not allowed to do it. It's number four. And it also happens to be the Yom Tov. It's Yom Tov where you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. And not only that, but he's also a Kohen. He's a Kohen and a Nazir. And the planting and the furrowing is done basically in a cemetery, which he's not allowed to be in there. So how many we got there?
Seven.
So where's the eight? The eight is, remember, there were two animals that he made holy. So for each animal, he's getting punished. Because each animal you can't. So that's going to be number eight. So that's going to be not the same Avera, but with two different animals. He did 7 different Averos, but one is a double, because he used this animal as consecrated and this animal as consecrated.
But it's one warning.
That's okay, but it's one for each Avera.
Yeah.
He says the line, don't use your animals, which transgresses the Avera, putting them together. That are Hegdish that you can't do. That's Hegdish. That's on Shviz. That's on Yom Tov. That's a field like this. And he spells it all in one sentence. You can give all the warnings. And you know you're doing 8 sins now. He's just doing one action. Boom. Chananya ben Chachinoy Omer. He says, guess what? I could throw another one in for you. If you're already counting, Afalos, what if he's wearing kilayim while he's doing it? They said, no, that's not fair. That's a cheat. Amrilo, and Eino Hashem, that's not the same nature, because you don't have to, it's not, it has nothing to do with the planting. Everything else had to do with that planting of the furrow. So that's not the same. You're right, it's the next one, but it really has not to do with that. And Omar Lahem, so Chanani replied, huh, what about Afa Nazir Lohu Hashem? But that's the same thing with the Nazir and the Kohen, it's also not being precise, because when do you get lashed for going into the thing? Right when you walk into the cemetery, not when you're plowing. So they really, I don't like yours either. So okay, we'll have to continue that discussion. But that's the end of the Mishnah. All right, excellent.